This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc Two on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. So, we're bringing a new presentation this Tuesday, 4 till 6. It's the Sarah Maestro and possibly Pete and Pimlico show. No, you're tuned into FUBAR Radio.
Ultimate, man. When you can just switch up the names every week of the show, you can't go wrong, man.
I'm feeling sorry for the listeners. They're just like, don't know if they're coming or going.
I feel sorry for them, man. They're just sitting at home, kicking back, taking in the sun.
Like Pete and Pimlico. Chilling, just waiting for us to call.
Yo, Pete and Pimlico, man. He's a star, man.
Innit? So, yes, looking forward to chatting to Pete and Pimlico later in the show. And yes, you are in the hands of myself, Sarah Love, and the one and only Mice Diggy.
A.K.A. the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake, all up in your mother-loving ears, giving you that wet willy that you need, mother-lovers.
Can't wait!
How are we feeling this afternoon? How are you feeling, Sarah?
I'm feeling cool, and we might even have a guest later.
But yeah, we might.
That's TBC.
Spider-Man, if they decide to pop in or not, you know?
Yeah, that's to be confirmed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and a few other treats in store for the show today, hopefully. But yes, you will have to keep it locked to FUBAR Radio. We love hearing from you guys, so you can hit us on twitter.com/FUBAR Radio, and you can even email us too at tuesdaydrive@FUBARradio.com. And you know, coming up on the show, we always have our special feature, Are You Taking the Piss? That's the chance where you guys get to vent about what has just caused you serious vexation or just made you question life.
Yeah,
this week.
it's only natural to question life, to wonder why things happen, you know, to feel like a target, to feel like you have an enemy out there. It's only right. Even when you don't have one, you look for one. You know what I mean?
Yes. And it's definitely part of being British, isn't it? Like,
so you
the
can
complaining.
Get it all, yeah, get it all out here. Just, you know, get that inner, whatever it is, that inner Hulk inside you.
Yes.
Let it loose here.
Oh, we did have the Hulk music in the past, actually. Maybe we need to do that.
Might
as like the ongoing
back,
theme for Are You Taking the Piss? The
Might
Hulk
have to
music.
Get the gamma rays back up in here, boy.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, and there's lots of goodies that have been going on in the UK this week, too, to discuss with you guys. So keep it locked to FUBAR. But we always like to kick off the show with a big up, because I think there's so many people doing cool stuff and they deserve a shout out.
Mm.
You know, we can't just be complaining all the
so
time, English
you,
people.
Been,
although we can, but totally we can.
Who have you been looking up to this week then, or so far?
Well, last Saturday, which I didn't really see much coverage of it in the news, there was that massive anti-austerity march. Did you see that happening?
Oh, yeah,
in London?
Anti-austerity.
I think
they expected
70,000 people, 250,000 people turned up. Which I thought was kind of bananas.
That's crazy. And
yeah.
It was so mainly it was sort of people from the
champagne socialists and like socialists. Celebrities.
You gotta explain to me what it's, because the champagne socialists I know, all they do is get drunk.
Basically, like
Giles Freeman, of course. Yes, yeah, well, yeah. As long as it's free, then I'll drink it.
Yes, I'll be there protesting. But yeah, no, it was. I think I guess you could accuse someone like Russell Band of being a champagne socialist, because they're people who are all like, yeah, it's all about the left and, you know, the social issues. But then they're like minted. So this is some of the criticism that people have of some.
They're like, because I recently learned about this, and funny, you know, we're going to be talking about all that stuff later on. But the crusties, is that because I've been hearing? I was like, what is a crusty? Because I've heard this like little term for a while.
Don't remember.
And what I found out that the crusties were like rich people that go, but they want to look like they're not rich. So they do their best to look broke, you know.
Really?
Like they'll spend about 2 hours in front of the mirror
working on that vagabond
look. Trying to look like, yeah, they don't care how they look
Le
like.
Le vagabond. But,
so is that a same,
no, don't
similar
you remember,
thing?
No, because don't you remember the crusties back in the day? Like in the 90s, that was like the crusty era when it would be like a whole bunch of, mainly, basically it was white people,
yeah.
Like, but a whole bunch
white
of
people.
White kids in Turnpike, the park in Turnpike Lane. But like they just occupied that area and it's sort of like a, modern hippie vibes.
So yeah, but I mean, were they're they? So they were hippie, so they didn't use the underarm like protection. You know, they probably bathed in like, I don't know, agua de flora or something.
Yeah, the oxygen. Yeah. Yes, oxygen bathing. I guess so, but no, I guess the crusties are just like the modern day hippies, but I haven't seen any crusties for time. Yeah. Remember when you see peace and love, peace warriors.
Yeah, so that makes sense then. Like, you know, I guess it's like the people that do their best to try and act like they care. And that's what a champagne socialist is.
I get, but the champagne socialists are like people who are really minted,
yeah,
and like they're actually probably middle class, but then they're into like all the like
lower class
social lower class like social working class issues and campaigners for that. So at this anti-austerity march that happened in London, you had Russell Brand talking, you had Charlotte Church. She did I was quite impressed with her speech, actually. She seems to be like coming up in the world and stuff. But people
learning how to like sift through the Google search.
Yeah, exactly. She's working the angles on Wikipedia. Yeah. But then, you know, people were then like, oh, she can shut up. We don't want to hear what she has to say because she owns a yacht. So then it's like you got people like her who are millionaires.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. But at the end of the day, those are the people that have got a voice.
Yeah.
Like no one, because I thought about that as well. My friends have been always talking about Russell Brand's like a false prophet, and one minute he says this, one minute he says that,
really?
Which is true. But there are tons of people saying it all over the internet, all over the world, that will never get heard because no one knows who they are.
For real.
Unfortunately, especially now, we're in that world where, oh, you're famous. Anything you say, anything you wear, anything you do, even everything you shit out, I've got to, you know, lap it all up.
Mm.
And so, hence, like someone like Russell Brand, unfortunately, yeah, whether it's fortunate or not, but that's part of what's kind of made him, you know, you get famous and you get money. And so now you're rich. But there's like, what was
you
it?
Can
he
still
was paying.
Have an opinion.
What was it? He had like an apartment or something that he was.
Oh, there was something, where people were trying to kind of poke holes in his argument because he was paying rent to some
swindling,
I don't know, yeah. But then you see
Giles
for a lot
Freeman.
Of, yeah, some Giles Freeman did. But then there's a lot, you know, for the people can't win, can they? Because then if Russell Brand was up there, but then not saying nothing, people would complain about that. Or if Charlotte Church was not saying nothing, people would complain about that.
Yeah,
so then,
exactly.
Then
exactly.
She says something, then people want to complain that she's saying something.
And he's kind of come from the lower sort of lower class lifestyle, is it not? Or
I think so.
He doesn't talk like
an Eaton boy.
He doesn't talk like he's mad lower class either. Like he's somewhere in the middle. He's walking that thin line.
Yeah, he's champagne socialist.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
But I ain't mad at those people. I think ultimately, like my dad says to me, all that matters is what's in somebody's heart. So really, if their motivation is in the right place, I don't care what background you're from. You could have gone to Eton. You could have, you know, never gotten any GCSEs or qualifications or whatever. But if your heart is in the right place, that's all that matters to me. And that's why I thought this week we need to give a big up to Tony Benn. Do you know about Tony Benn?
Man like Tony Benn, yeah.
Big in
Let
the
me
game,
tell you
yeah.
something, yeah. Back when man was on road, like Tony Benn was big in this thing. Tony Benn, I swear he was on the radio, innit?
Did he have an actual show on the radio? I'm not sure. I mean, he was a MP, so he was like often talking and, you know, he was in the media on TV and stuff.
So what did he have to say?
But I mean, he died a couple years ago, I think, but he just has so many ill quotes. And one of them that I really like, he says, if one meets a powerful person, Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin, Bill Gates, ask them 5 questions. What power have you got? Where did you get it from? In whose interest do you exercise it? And to whom are you accountable? How can we get rid of you? And if we can't get rid of you, the people who you govern, you do not live in a democracy. So he's kind of deep. But, you know, he had a really cool quote, which I wanted to play for you from the film with, what's the dude's name? The angry white man guy, stupid white man guy. What's his name? I can't remember his name now.
Stupid white man.
You remember that dude?
That narrows it down.
Michael. David Cameron. No. Michael Moorfield. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Santa Claus. Giving away all those presents. Yeah. Giving away all that money. No.
Okay, I was going to say something that would have probably got me killed, so I won't say that. But
when did the whole idea that
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But no, this is Tony Benn. What a G. Big ups to Tony Benn.
When did this whole idea that every British citizen should have a right to health care?
Well, if you go back, it all began with democracy. Before we had the vote, all the power was in the hand of rich people. If you had money, you could get health care, education, look after yourself when you were old. And what democracy did was to give the poor the vote. And it moved power from the marketplace to the polling station, from the wallet to the ballot. And what people said was very simple. They said, in the 1930s, we had mass unemployment. But we don't have unemployment during the war. If you can have full employment by killing Germans, why can't you have full employment by building hospitals, building schools, recruiting nurses, recruiting teachers? If you can find money to kill people, you can find money to help people.
Mama.
Even Mrs. Thatcher said, the National Health Service is safe in our hands. It's as non-controversial as votes for women. Nobody could come along and say, why should women have the vote now? Because people wouldn't have it. Democracy is the most revolutionary thing in the world, far more revolutionary than socialist ideas or anybody else's idea, because if you have power, you use it to meet the needs of you and your community. And this idea of choice, which Capital talks about all the time, you've got to have a choice. Choice depends on the freedom to choose. And if you're shackled with debt, you don't have a freedom to choose.
It seems like it benefits the system if the average working person is shackled with debt.
And people in debt become hopeless, and hopeless people don't vote. See, they always say everyone should vote, but I think if the poor in Britain or the United States turned out and voted for people who represented their interests, it would be a real democratic revolution. And so they don't want it to happen. So keeping people hopeless and pessimistic. See, I think there are two ways in which people are controlled. First of all, frighten people, and secondly, demoralize them. An educated, healthy, and confident nation is harder to govern. And I think there's an element in the thinking of some people. We don't want people to be educated, healthy, and confident because they would get out of control. The top 1% of the world's population own 80% of the world's wealth. It's incredible that people put up with it. But they're poor, they're demoralized, they're frightened. And therefore they think perhaps the safest thing to do is take orders and hope for the best.
Wow, that was, yeah.
That was right. Kind of deep, right?
Yeah. You dropped some gems in there, boy.
For
that
real?
I was just like,
Oh,
yeah, yeah. That sounds like my mum right now. Like, That's right, that's right.
So I think people like Tony Benn, man, we need to, like, remember these characters. Because look at these clowns that we're left with now. When you're looking at the politicians who are calling the shots and the trash that they're trying to do to things like NHS and all that stuff, you've got to hold me back from getting on my soapbox.
No, I know what you're saying as well, but I think like the biggest problem is that it's almost like there isn't anyone brave enough to say it how it is. Like there's always, you'll get the Russell Brands or you'll get someone, you know, saying an amount that people are like, yeah, that's it, but then it never really goes any further, or just people don't react to it. It's like, now I'm wondering, after seeing that many people turn up to that march, are they going to listen to that? Do you know, are the powers that be going to say, okay, look, maybe we should start trying to iron out these creases, because what did you say, 250,000 people?
I think definitely the government are just going to ignore that. But I think the important thing of having like a meeting like that is just showing that, you know, we're not alone. It's not just you and I who think this is a liberty. Rah, there are actually 250,000 people at least who are prepared to take their day out and go and make that statement kind of thing. So I think that is empowering, just to know that, yeah, we are here. We're not just these isolated nutters out here, and the rest of the country are all just like, yeah, that's all good to sell off all these welfare cuts and things. So I think just the gesture is important. If nothing else,
it's like what he was saying about, you know, spending more money on war than on, you know, like healthcare and things like that, education. You know, is that going to change if these are the people that are making that kind of money on that?
I just literally wonder, like, how do these people actually sleep at night? Like, these people are cowards. They don't even have the guts to look in someone's eye and kill them.
They'll just send
like a drone and do it.
They'll send or send a whole bunch of people who have families who feel like they're doing this for a good reason. They think, yeah, I'm protecting my country. But really, what you're going in to do is try and wipe out a bunch of people so that they can't attack your country.
So what's the difference between that and like suicide bombers or terrorism that they want to use as a mechanism of fear to control us and make us be like, oh yeah, we need to spend money on all of this crazy shit.
I see the new drone out there. I'm going to put some ribs on that shit.
You know,
rubbing their hands together like.
For real. But it's all just smoke and mirrors and trickery. And that's why I just have so much respect for people like Tony Benn, because they're the voices that are able to actually stand back and say, okay, let's get this in perspective and look at things on a real level. You are tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Maestro. And yes. I think it's time we hit them with a tune.
What we got?
When was the last time you heard this
flavor? Sarah's deep, man. This is what you don't get on FUBAR Radio, man. You don't get this anywhere else in the world.
For real. I don't remember that song ending so abruptly before. but hey, that's the world of live radio.
The game done changed.
Yeah. But no, that's like... That's certified classic music, right?
Yeah, come on, man. Tribe Called Quest. I always think about that, the documentary, man. That last documentary that got put out, the Michael Rappaport one.
Yeah.
And it's such an emotional... He's just like, right, that it. But they still have one record left on their contract.
They're like
just
holding our breath. We're waiting.
Oh man, but classic.
But then that's what. Who do you think? Yeah, that was the Beats, Rhymes, and Life documentary that was made about the group Tribe Called Quest. Like, so who do you? When I see things like that, or when you end up catching those BBC Four documentaries about so and so, Jimi Hendrix or whatever, you know the ones. Yeah. I think to myself, so who? In 40 years' time, who are we going to be seeing those documentaries about, like, from now?
I think it'll be, you know, like, the sort of... it'll be the iconic artists, really. That's who... Because that's who we're getting now, you know. We're getting all the artists that were really... Because look how many different records came out in the 70s, you know.
But that's what trips me out when you think how much in... Because I saw some highlights from previous... Glastonbury's the other day, and then so it was like Beach Boys, James Brown, who's the other, someone else incredible, yeah. And when you think like from 1960 to 1970, like the array of artists that you had in that time, like so much creativity happened in that time in different spheres of music,
changed
music.
Yeah,
you know, like this is some of the most like important pivotal times in creativity, like popular music,
yeah,
isn't
popular
it? So it's
music,
like, who right now will we see these documentaries about? I wonder what the FUBAR.
That's a good point, man. I mean, hopefully, you know, it's not like people like Bruno Mars and. You know,
blatantly, it's going to be Mark Ronson, Kanye.
You reckon?
Well Kanye, who is it gonna
I can
be?
See it being someone like Kanye, because you know people refer to him like as a god now, like a genius.
Jesus
You're a genius.
Christ, that's you know? Scary. That's scary.
Well, the internet told me so. I searched it up. I found it on the internet, and that's what
that's
came
what
up.
That's what Wikipedia said.
That's So I tweeted it, and then after that, when I got the retweet. I decided that on Facebook that, you know what I mean?
And then I saw it was trending.
Yeah. And
so
that's
it was official.
So it's official. But yeah, I think it will be people like Kanye, Andre 3000.
Hope so.
You know, like, obviously probably Jay-Z.
But do you really think like, okay, if we went over to
Beyonce.
The street now and stopped... But that's what I mean. It's going to be people who they're noted for selling crazy amounts of records or having crazy number of views on YouTube. Like, rather than it... Jimi Hendrix wouldn't touch any of them in terms of hits on YouTube.
No.
But he hit you in the chest.
Yeah.
You know, or Nina Simone hit you in the chest with what they were saying with their instrument, with their music.
But also, what I do think as well, like, I think there's a few... with this whole music thing, there's a lot of different, like, you know, ways to look at it in terms of, like, the music that touches you. For a lot of people, it's usually in the early stages of life. So going
Chris
through your teens,
it.
As you're growing up, you know, you're maturing. And it's like, things will happen during your life where a tune, it means something
it's
to you because
of,
it marks that moment. That usually happens with people, you know, I reckon between sort of like, 8 to 20 or something like that. That sort of age where there's tunes that are like, man, this is my tune, this is my... But then after that, it's not as... Things don't touch you as much. So I think, unfortunately, for a lot of these kids, because their parents ain't going to be like, look, listen to what I listen to. Yeah. It's going to be like the T-Pain's going to touch their heart when he said, yo, lick my booty and put some money in my wallet. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's going to touch them more than, you know, any, I don't know, any track from, you know, Gangstar or, you know what I mean? It's going to hit them way more because they were like 13 and thinking about that type
of stuff. It's like the Chris, that's terrifying, man. And these are going to be the future leaders of the world and all organisations. Yeah, best of luck. We won't be around, but yeah, best of luck with that. But no, have you seen that Chris Rock sketch when he's like, yeah, whatever music was popular when you started fucking, you'll love that for the rest of your life.
That's it, though.
So
it's,
he's
it's
like,
true.
I'll always love Houdini.
It's true, though. It's true. Because that's what I notice is like there are kids, there are some kids that are like 13, 14 and they're like crazy into all the stuff that, you know, Trey Songz or whatever is being played on the radio and whatnot. Mm. But then there are some at that age that are crazy about, you know, Immortal Technique or Loki or someone that they're just hearing on YouTube. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But it's like the anger that they're feeling at that time is the anger that is kind of being expressed when they're listening to that music. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it kind of works. But unfortunately, the popular stuff, the really popular stuff, is the stuff that we're not really impressed with. You know what I mean?
But it all sounds like the same. Like, really,
no,
how different?
I don't start la.
No, when you listen to the charts, though, it's it's like, really, how much difference is there between? They're all written by the same songwriters.
Yeah, well,
they're all produced in the same way. They're all in the same time signature, the same,
you
know,
zombies,
keys.
Man. That's what the zombies love, isn't it?
You know, but whereas it's like, you know, when you hear a DJ Premier beat, like it's distinctive sort of thing. But no, Kanye definitely, I think, is someone who, you know, he's just got a crazy catalogue of work now. And yeah, he's managed to keep those internet hits and tabloids buzzing.
Yeah,
and
he
everything.
Was smart, man. You know, he was smart as in he, like, I don't know whether he does write all his own stuff or whatnot, but he's had the right people around him when it's time to do an album. You know, he also, like, the smart ones always start off with crazy integrity, but still, you know, on a level that they can go take it like further than just the underground or whatnot. And so the people, all the integral, all the underground lot would be, oh man, yeah, you're nah, this is sick, this is sick. And then the people above it would be like, oh right, all the, yeah, okay, it looks like the tastemakers like this, so yeah, we should like it as well. And then bam, once he managed to grasp all those people that might not really listen to music that deep enough to, you know, they're just like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, look at Busta Rhymes. There was a while when he
his
put
career
out,
is amazing, though, when you think about it. Like, from Leaders of the New School, from such an underground, like, proper hip-hop group to,
and
like,
to
he's one of the
like
biggest
that.
Names. Like,
but there was a time, that you got to admit, there was a time he did one or two albums that sound, it all sounded like the same shit.
Oh, yeah, no, he's got plenty of, fraff in his catalogue,
but
too.
Because he'd got to that level where people loved him regardless,
they'll just lap it
up. Yeah, they were buying the stuff, you know? So it's the same kind of shit where
Kanye,
he did that.
And that's what
and then
ends up getting him to be, like, headlining. Is he headlining? Would you call it headlining? At Glastonbury.
I guess so. Yeah.
But, yeah, well, a lot of people have kind of objected to,
yeah, boy,
to that, haven't they?
I was
they're
surprised
not
to see that.
You were surprised to see that he's headlining?
Yeah, but, well, I was surprised to see that so many people would be against it.
It's true.
And then I was wondering, like, are they going or not? Are they going to be there?
Yeah.
Like, or did they buy the ticket and go, no?
Yeah.
You know, sign a petition. And then
I
that many of them.
This.
How many people go to Glastonbury? Like,
isn't it like 200, up to 200,000? Isn't it something crazy like that? I feel like it's something like 180,000 people.
So, you know, more than half the people there. So I was wondering, like,
yeah,
are
so they're
the
all
going
to boycott the set.
Yeah,
there'll just be like 10 people at the front during his set. Yeah. They'll all be like,
doubtful, isn't it? Is that? I mean, they're more likely. I remember I did the Black Glastonbury, the one Beyonce was there. And
wow,
there was all these Beyonce looking chicks. Like, there were chicks where you're thinking, what are you doing here?
Wow.
Yeah, they wouldn't be at this sort of festival, but because Beyonce's headlining. Yeah, I'm going to do, you know what, I think I'm going to do Beyonce, Glastonbury, yeah?
Wow.
Like, I'm just going to go, so I should take boots, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so what?
Not the heels, yeah.
How many takes boots to go with the
But then that shows that Glastonbury know what they're doing if they're getting, you know, they need to keep down with the kids. You know, to stay relevant, they've got to have the people who are at the top of the.
It's the biggest. It's the biggest festival. How else are they going to show that they're the biggest festival? Like, look, we can do this.
Like keeping it like folk or something.
Yeah.
Like,
so they, but there's still all of that. All the rock stuff is there. All the, you know, whatever you want is at Glastonbury, really.
It was. It is pretty amazing, really. It's and we were madness. Trying to get my friend on the phone who actually organises an area in Glastonbury, so his job
you
is
know
pretty,
that ain't
like,
happening,
epic. I know. It's like the universe is conspiring against us.
Glastonbury started last week for a lot of people, man.
Yeah, no, I think he's actually there, so I'm not even convinced that there's even reception going there. But no, when I thought, talking about Kanye playing at Glastonbury this year, and I thought, yeah, let's play a Kanye tune. So listening to like his last couple albums, even though some of them tunes were like massive, like that was the biggest jam at the time. Really, no one gives a damn about them tunes now.
Yeah, there's only a couple.
Like 808s and Heartbeats. Can you even remember anything about that record?
I didn't even remember that was what it was called.
Do you see what I'm saying? But at the time, it was like, this is the most trending thing. Like, oh my God, everyone should sell their grandma to get this record. Like, you know, but really. That now, Steve Biko, the Tribe Called Quest tune, that still hits you in a way.
I mean, that was, I used to talk about that with, who was it? And he used to talk about like the fact that, you know, it's to do with it being synthetic. And when that whole auto-tune thing,
oh my God,
let alone that it's
I've
a synthetic, because everybody sounds the same. I can't tell who's who when you're doing it.
They all sound shit. Yeah. Like, they all sound shit.
And you're making a good point, because I haven't heard any of them tunes ever again since that whole blow up, whatever, whatever. But I've heard some of his other stuff, even from later, you know, like, oh, you'll still hear All of the Lights or something like that. Something where the beats, you know, it's got that staying power. But all of that stuff...
It's just like PR.
Or maybe
just
we just don't
want to
hear it. When we hear it, we don't hear it. We just block
because
it out.
Because it's just frat. It's air. It just fills a gap, isn't it, kind of thing. But one of his, like, recent, and this, like, three albums ago recent tunes that I thought I'd draw for today was this one. Do you remember this, Jam? And that was a record that kind of sounded very different to the rest of that album. I remember when this album came out. I can't even remember what album this was on now. It's all a blur.
It was that album. You know the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you know the one that had that one good tune on. Yeah,
that's
that
one. Yeah,
that's what we're talking about. But that was Kanye West, of course. And he is headlining this year's Glastonbury. And on the line, we have one of the most important people involved in Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes, running everything. Mr. Martin Maynard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Currently sitting in Tesco car park. Trying to get supplies for our stewards, but
we know
lovely
what that means.
Weather down here.
Oh, really? Because I heard that it's going to be like another rain out this weekend.
Is it?
Well, we had a bit of a drizzle. We had a bit of dampness on Monday, and I think the forecast is looking like it might be a bit damp on Saturday, but it won't make the slightest difference. Everyone will have an absolute ball.
Yeah.
It's always better anyway, because you don't want it to be all dusty, you know? Like,
oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's right. From a logistics point of view, we like a little sprinkle around mid-diet to sort of quieten things down.
Yeah. And so what exactly do you do at Glastonbury, Martin?
I'm responsible for the stewards that look after the nightlife areas and what we call the southeast corner. That's Block 9, amazing gay area with the underground and the Genesis stages. We've got Shangri-La, which has got a couple of big stages, a 3,000-foot stage on, purple stage on there, for the Heaven and Hell stages. We've got Radio Run running out of there on Friday night. Then we've got the Common, which is a really lovely chill-out area, amazing scenery of a rock stretching from, it seems like, miles, with all these little bars and... chill out areas, just wonderful.
How many
and
people?
Then,
How many people attend Glastonbury? Isn't it like 180,000 or something?
Well,
like
there's 175,000 people on site, of which 135,000 are ticking paying public. So 40,000 are making it happen. So as you wander around, three people, one in four people is actually doing something to make it happen.
That's actually what makes
the festival so amazing.
It's a festival within a festival.
It's just people getting it together.
That's a crazy task to keep that ticking. Because without that, oh my God,
madness,
it'd be mayhem.
Man.
So how did you go? When did you arrive in the Glastonbury area, Martin?
Well, I've been coming down for meetings and setting up and stuff last two, but I actually sort of arrived full time on Saturday.
Mm-mm.
And then it's a matter of changing a piece of grass into a camping field, getting porter cabins in, setting up the bases, and getting operations for the stewarding. The actual build for the festival really starts at the beginning of June, so they've had about 3 weeks, and we're just at the moment putting the finishing touches of paint on things and final fixer-uppers, and we're opening in the morning at 8.
Do you actually get any chance to just, like, partake in any of the partying or just spectate?
Well, the reality is not much. I tend to be in the corner, the SE corner in my cabin. I mean, I did see the Rolling Stones on my laptop from the cabin last year.
So you're at Glastonbury watching on the laptop.
Got the best seats here, mate, I'll tell you what.
That is probably the best way to do it. That's very civilised. But yeah.
It is quite awesome, actually, they're doing the work. You're really looking after, because in the nightlife areas, we get about 65,000 people come through at night. And it's just one wonderful party. I mean, it is, there's live music, there's DJs. And if you move off of our site into the circus fields or into the cabaret fields, there's just stuff going on. There's no way you couldn't find something you can enjoy.
When was the first time you attended Glastonbury, Martin?
2001, I think it was. It was just after the sort of change over the management. And they got a lot more stream. They put the big fence in and things.
Even
later than me. The first time I went to Glastonbury was 1994.
Serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it still free for under 14s?
Well, yeah, I mean, in 94, people used to come in over the fence and under the fence and all sorts of things.
That was part of the fun.
Yeah, so it was kind of free for people under 40.
Yeah.
People over 40.
Again now.
Yeah, you can't, there's no form of that anymore. Now you got to
You really do need a ticket. Just don't turn up if you've ever got a ticket.
Is there security there with, like, AK-47s waiting for
people? Absolutely.
Yeah, they got drones out there.
Yeah.
I knew it, man. I knew it.
And who are you looking forward to that you see on the bill this year, Martin? Is there anyone that's caught your eye?
Well, being an old chap myself, I would like to go and see The Who, but so I might just about disappear from my cabin to go and see that.
Yeah.
My partner really fancies Florence, so we'll go and see that. And then you'll probably find us in one of the bars somewhere else in the very late night shows, but...
At the end of everything, you'll
basically
be holding up the bar.
Regardless.
There's an amazing subculture of back show bars in the different areas which are going on. They said there's 40,000 people who are entertaining another 130, then like to entertain themselves. So there's all
fair enough.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed that as well.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. There's a lot more sort of these little, like you're saying, there would be like little bars within this little village area. And then, you know, but loads of people queuing up to get in because it's so packed in there. And they prefer to do that than, you know, like stand...
with the riffraff.
Yeah, you're like, miles away from the stage, man. You're looking at ants, like, performing.
It is pretty crazy when you see the shots of, like, how massive that audience is and stuff, man. I think the last time I went to Glastonbury, it was probably, like, I think, like, 2002. So I'm well out of date.
I'm going...
Are you?
Friday, yeah.
2002. Was that when McCartney played the headline? And
I can't even remember. I DJ'd and then I left. It was terrible.
From a diva.
I know. In the helicopter, they dropped me in, parachuted in, and I bounced. No, but thank you so much for chatting to us, Martin.
Okay.
It's always curious to hear behind the scenes how these things operate, and I will be thinking of you when I watch from the comfort of my home.
I'll try and look for you, Martin. I'm going to try and hunt you down. It's going to be a real mission, but
we'll
see if it can happen.
Come around and see us. Southeast Corner Stewart Base. We're all operating out there. It'd be brilliant to see you.
Wicked. I've got the gold tooth and the shiny forehead. So
okay.
And the voice like velvet cake.
Yeah, and the voice of chocolate velvet cake. So,
Okay, Martin, you have a good one, okay?
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Speak to you soon. And anybody tuned into the show, make sure you go check out Martin Maynard running things behind the scenes,
man,
at Glastonbury. And someone who I'm sure will probably make an appearance soon at Glastonbury. He's not performed there yet, has he? Have you had this tune yet? Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, man, he should be at Glastonbury, man. I'm surprised he weren't there this year.
That would be more interesting to have something that's a bit more... curveball, a bit less poppy. But I was feeling this tune from his last album. This is called All Right, It's Fubar.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on Fubar Radio.
Run! Save yourself!
Was he, what did that mean, that old bit there? I was just trying to get into the... Run! Like the Kunta! Kunta Kinte!
Oh, it's the lead into the next
run,
track.
Run, run,
yes.
Run.
But, I think he's doing he's one of, like, the more...
Refreshing.
Excited, yeah, refreshing. Yes. But then that's why I feel that in some respects it's like times are so tough at the moment, sonically, musically, where it's, like, easy for people to get caught onto a hype with certain releases and things like that.
Yeah, come on, man.
Where it's kind of like we were just talking about the D'Angelo album. I know, it is all just about hype, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how it works now. Like, look, the amount of people that have got signed from fake views, you know, or fake amount of followers, or but it's like, all because actually, people see that. They see the fake views and think they're real, and then think, oh, wow, I should be following or I should be viewing. And then it turns into a bunch of real people that are following because they're jumping on the train, the bandwagon, or the friggin' doodoos.
The doodoo train. Boy, yeah.
Whatever it is.
But when
man.
You see a group like One Erection, then they're like...
We come together as one. Erection. I'm in an echo mood.
Courtesy of Simon Cowell. Say everything twice, like Greg Nice. Do you remember that line from 13? But no, someone that we were just talking to, Martin Maynard, who runs a whole section of Glastonbury, and what an epic job
Glass
that is, doing all of that. And a group that have performed, I think, was it last year? I think maybe Chic, Nile Rodgers and Chic performed at Glastonbury. I can't remember if that was last year or a year before, but in recent last couple of years, anyway, they performed there. I think Nile Rodgers is just such an ill musician, and he's just really contributed to so much in pop music, which is just still certified ill tunes. Like, you know, when he's produced for and written for people like David Bowie and Madonna, Duran Duran kind of thing, like he was the go-to guy for that funk in it. And when yesterday I saw there was a story that he turned up in South Bank in London, and he was like sort of indescribable. Well, he was wearing a scarf. So that was enough of the disguise.
Let me just hide my neck.
Yeah.
That'll do. They ain't going to recognize me if I hide my neck.
Yeah.
Come on with it.
And he was busking on South Bank. And so, but he said for a while, but no one actually noticed it was him or recognized it was him or anything. Because so, he was just out jamming. I'm gutted that I wasn't in South Bank yesterday.
Would you reckon that is that a Prince? So, you know, like Prince, apparently he'll do like the after party, and it would be like 6 hours or something like that of just him and the band jamming.
Oh, really?
Is it something like that where it's just like the artist in me needs to...
vent.
Yeah, just to release it and let, you know, just play somewhere where it's not the same old billions of people, you know, throwing their knickers and drills at me. You know what
probably,
I mean?
Probably, because I mean, someone like him, I mean, what haven't you done? It's like you performed in front of like 100,000 people. You've played everywhere all over the world, you know, and like you've gotten Grammys and all this. So to do something normal, just to be amongst the plebs is like, must be exciting.
You know, right, like Michael Jackson did the, remember there was a time when they were saying he was like, wearing masks, or he was like in disguise,
going out
I just want to go to Lidl and get some $5 lobster. Please,
I love Lidl.
Yeah, did
I
was like,
lovely
was it
girl
one,
there after
you just
hours.
Want to be somewhere and not everyone going, "Oh my God, it's you."
Imagine how whack it must be to be on that level of fame. Like, that's whackness. Because I was even thinking of the Queen the other day. Like, she can't just go window shopping.
Nah.
Like, you know, there's some days where you think, oh, let's go for a walk down Brick Lane.
Yeah.
Like, you're
none
a prisoner in your own life.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
That's whack.
You can't even, she couldn't go to the bookies. And she's like, I just want to go make a bet. He's like, no, you're all right. Sorry, Mom. We can't let you do that, Mom. I'll make the bet for you.
Exactly. That's whack. You're not actually free.
Yeah.
So it's like being that level of famous or wealth doesn't enhance it. You know, broaden your life.
Maybe
it actually restricts it.
She should try it.
The burger. Maybe she were, busking, yeah. Because people would think it was just a lookalike, isn't it? Because there's no way you'd think like the Queen is actually Pond Road. But Nile Rodgers, I think he said that he used to be a busker before he was like super famous as well. But yeah, he did the whole stunt for to do with like a homeless charity that he's working with or something. But yeah, he has a big respect for buskers and says that it's a good thing to do as a musician to get your chops up. And so I thought, let's play a tune from Chic, which is a lesser known record. But breaks.
You're damn right, ladies and gentlemen. This is the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake right here. We're bringing you something special on FUBAR Radio just to get your drawers in a twist. Yeah. Rogers.
Am I doing correct there? Okay, right. Back in the game.
That felt good though, man.
Yeah, that did feel good. That's a classic Chic break at the beginning of that. That's one of those ill drum breaks. But yeah, You Can't Do It Alone was the name of that track. And of course, Chic and Nile Rodgers performed at Glastonbury last year, we think, maybe, or the year before. We really should do our homework before we broadcast on air, shouldn't we?
One too many pills that one. I was forgotten, mate.
It was that good. Can't remember it at all. But yeah, and we were talking to Martin, our homie who organises a section of Glastonbury. And a few of you have also been reacting to us, emailing us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. You can also hit us on twitter.com/fubarradio. You have been letting us know your thoughts about Kanye performing at Glastonbury this year. What are the peeps saying on the email?
We've got Warren from Eastbourne. Yeah, Warren, he says, look, I'm going to Glastonbury. I will watch a bit of Kanye, but he better not try any of his onstage nonsense. I'm not in the mood for that. Just smile, Kanye. You're in the happiest place on earth. Yeah? The happiest place on earth. Like, whenever I'm there, I'm always happy, so you better be happy, because you're rich as well, you bastard. All right, he didn't say that last bit. I just had to ad-lib there, but I'm sure that's how he's feeling.
I'm sensing that tone as well. What was his name?
The happiest place on earth. This is Warren in Eastbourne, man.
Warren's a bit aggy, man.
Yeah, Warren, he's right, though, man.
He's going with the aggy vibe to Glastonbury.
You know, like, think about it, yeah? I don't know how long it lasts, but as soon as the tickets are up for Glastonbury, bam, they're gone in, like, 20 seconds.
It is something. By the end of the day, they're sold out, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's crazy when you think
135,000 people.
That is insane.
Warren ain't lying.
Warren, preach, Warren. Yeah, I am kind of jealous that Warren's just going and chilling at Glastonbury, to be honest. Hey. You know what? I did hear that there were threats of people were going to throw glasses of piss at Kanye.
How tastes my pee-pee? Hey, Kanye, how tastes my pee-pee? It's got to be a whole lot. Look,
as
man,
a protest, that's their own protest.
Look, so now we know 135,000 people go there, yeah?
That's 135,000.
And 135,000 people said they don't want to see him there. That's a whole lot of piss right there. He's on Saturday, so if you calculate it right, you get there on Thursday. Yeah.
Take those empty bottle with
that's
you.
Gonna, Kanye Kardashian is going to be a wet mother lover by the end of that.
But I say that was my that I am a bit I've got issues when it comes to public toilets. So dealing with a port-a-loo for me is pretty terrifying. And think for a woman.
Yeah. What that's this what I'm is saying. Like. For a dude, it's bad enough. Like for a woman, I couldn't even imagine.
I can't hang it. So the first time I went to Glastonbury, I didn't use the toilet for the whole time. I didn't use the toilet until I got back to the train station to go home.
Wow, that and train station like, must have been.
No, but that's the extent of my phobia of grotty public toilets. Because I just remember at that Glastonbury back in 94 that it was you could smell the toilets before you could see them.
Yeah, the thing is, what I've learned about festivals, because you know, doing festivals is best to just use the toilet the first couple days.
Yeah, then
the last couple days, dead it, man. The last couple days is just like, wow, this is this ain't gonna work. Yeah,
this is actually a health hazard right now. I'm risking my life.
Of course, I did. You know? Just walking in here and breathing. Of course, I did.
Oh, Jesus! And you know when you can smell something, it's because you're inhaling the molecules of that thing. So if you can smell shit, it's because you're inhaling the molecules of feces into your nose. But yeah, look, my dad went to Glastonbury last year and he was like, no, it was fine. You'll be impressed with how much it's improved since the 90s, the toilet situation.
I think it probably, like since then it must have improved because now there's, didn't really have all sanitary sort of,
Those things haven't dropped yet. Yeah, big in the streets.
And now they've also got, what they've done as well to kind of speed up the process is they've got like these, you know, like you see these public toilet, like men's, where you can just go and take a pee.
Oh, God. You know, there's
loads of them.
That thing that comes out of the street on the pavement.
What would you call them?
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That piece of metal in the middle of the street.
But it's not like that. It's like over in the men's area.
I find that horrifying. It makes me want to cry.
You gotta use it. That's the whole point, isn't it? It's like,
it's better there.
You haven't got to worry about a dude peeing on the toilet seat anymore. Some random
or
dude,
on the
especially.
Side of your tent.
Yeah, I've,
you
yeah.
know that's happening.
That's getting deep into number the Glastonbury of game.
See, this is what happens butt. When you have phobias. You just create all these scenarios in your mind where, that are going to kill you.
Especially
in the end.
Mud butt, boy.
But yeah, what we have also, other people have been hitting us up at Tuesday
Steve,
Drive at
foodbarradio.com. Oi, Steve.
Oi,
you
Steve.
He says, Steve, you all right, mate? Queen's Park, West Side all day, mate. Yo, I saw Public Enemy last year and they smashed it.
Woo!
They need Flavor Flav to rock the main stage this year and not that Florence and her wailing machine, mate.
Hey!
Steve, I saw them as well. They smashed it.
Oh,
apparently,
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I saw them last year. Last year I was on them. You know when it's like, okay, these lot are performing here, right? So at this time, I'm going to go there. Like, I proper
strategic,
planned out.
Yeah.
I saw Nas, you know, I made sure I went and saw. And I think what happened, was it last year where Flavor Flav, apparently he didn't make it through the border or something like that. They wouldn't let him on the plane. There was some kind of madness. Yeah, but they came out, Chuck D, he had the whole band was there. I think it was, what's it called? I've forgotten the name of the stage now, but.
Pyramid?
No, not the pyramid stage. It was like the Peter Sutton stage or something like
John
that.
John Peel?
John Peel. I think it was a John Peel stage.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, came out and tore it. Like, I know that guy's, he's in middle age, you know, he's like in his 50s or whatever, but he came out and smashed it with the band.
No, they've easily got to be one of the best live shows. I mean, I've never actually been able to see them live in front of me, and they're definitely on my bucket list of people I got to see before I bounce out of here.
Because
definitely has got to be one of the best hip-hop live shows ever.
Yeah, they still rock.
That's a performance, man. And I think that's the thing with Glastonbury. Like, the tickets are... How much is a ticket? Like, £200 or something?
I don't even ask me that.
Are you dealing with the AK-47s on the, over the fence vibes? That's how you attend Glastonbury?
You're
in the helicopter.
Yeah, I wish, man.
Shirley Bassey vibes, That's how the
boys are chocolate
velvet.
Kanye security, man. You know what I mean? Kanye, let me protect you from 135,000...
glasses of piss.
Yeah, let me do that for you, bro. You know what I mean? Just get me backstage.
Just get me
a backstage pass, bro.
People are on that, man, to get into things without paying.
People do it, like, you know, and it's funny because Martin was saying, you know, don't try it, but people will still go up there and try their best to get in, and it'll work. Like, I know about people that have they just like shook the security's hand.
Oh wow!
And he's let them through somehow.
Can't
in
really
the last couple years, you
look
know?
Look at me encouraging corruption. Hey. I'm like, can't blame
so
them.
So there's probably like 200,000. Kanye's going to be fucked.
Yeah, exactly. No, but even if you are paying like the security guard £100 or you're buying a ticket for £200 legitimately, which of course is what I would recommend.
Yes,
It's good value for money. Like, really, it's like three days. Like,
man, it's a world.
On.
You're like, in a whole world, man. Like,
that's amazing.
You know, look, he's saying there's 40,000 people behind the. That's a festival within it. A whole festival is making a festival happen. Imagine that.
It's crazy.
That's crazy. So, you got in there, and I guarantee you, 3 days is not enough to get around.
In it.
You wouldn't be able to see everything, even if you stayed up 24 hours.
In it.
Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't be able to see everything that's going on. So
I've got to make sure I get to Glastonbury next year, man.
Because
twice
sure.
and the last time being like 14 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, you're missing out, Sarah, man.
Yeah,
what the
no,
hell's
I'm
going on?
Mad sleeping, man. But speaking of Public Enemy at Glastonbury, I thought, come on, we got to take it there.
Get our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops we come to save.
This is what I'm talking about when I say, like, hit you in the chest music.
Smack you in the face with it music.
Yeah, drop kick.
Yo, check this out, man. Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Talk to me about it, mice.
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Public Enemy, we out here doing that thing, doing it right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yo, Chuck, they don't know how to do this, man. We on Football Radio right now. You keep it live right here.
We thought we'd surprise you with a special guest live in the studio, Flavor Flav!
Flavor Flav! Hey, yo, who got the crack, man? Come on with it, man.
See, that was quite an amazing story. When you think Flavor Flav coming from Public Enemy, one of the most like militant, politicized, socially active like groups of popular music, to then the Flavor of Love.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But
crazy, right?
The thing is, he's still Public Enemy, man.
I know!
And when you think about it, think about it like this. Because I heard about the story where Professor Griff was like, yo, Chuck, we can't have this dude. He's drinking. He's, you know, all this. But that was the reality. That's Chuck D. Chuck D was like, nah, he's public enemy. He's part of this.
I know.
And that shows that he's not like turning up his nose at the faults in people from a certain society. You know what I mean? He knows that there's a reason why we have Flavor Flavs in the hood.
Yes.
And the best we can do, otherwise people wouldn't be able to relate to them as well as they could, I don't reckon.
They'll
just be like, okay, yeah.
And then again, this reminds me of what my dad says, all that matters is what's in somebody's heart. But then that makes me think of Martin Luther King, who was like the soundbite at the beginning of the Fight the Power Public Enemy tune, where, you know, his famous quote, he wants his children to be judged on the content of their character, not the colour of their skin. So it's about judging people on what's going on the inside. And also Flavor Flav, like, without doubt, he's got to be one of the top three hype men of all time.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, who else? You know,
Sendog, Cypress Hill.
Yeah, Sendog's up there. Sendog, yeah, Sendog's up there.
There is. I had this conversation not long ago with someone, but I can't remember who it is. Foxy Brown. no. Well, we had. Who was it on the email? Hit us up about
BB.
Was it?
BB and Clappers.
In Clappers,
where's Clappers,
it?
Mate?
Yeah, I wonder where...
Clappers. Hey, BB, I think you're in Clapham, not Clappers, yeah?
Or Clapton.
Clapton, maybe. Ah, oh, Clapton.
Yeah.
Hey, I fucking love it in Clapton, mate. You do the fucking Upton-Clapton walk.
It's a bit different to Liverpool. Hey. In Clappers.
But BB's asking, where's Foxy Brown at?
I like how BB's appealing to us.
Yeah. So
these guys sound like the voice of Chocolate Velvet. Sounds like he'll know.
He'll know where Foxy Brown is. Let me just get. Hold on. Let me get. I've got on speed dial still.
Oh yeah, what she said. Just hit her up on the FaceTime and it quickly.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, where is she, Sarah?
Well, I think there's something. Did she actually go to jail? Oh, there was talk of a jail. I think she spent some time in jail.
I think she did go to jail. It's weird. Little Kim, didn't she go to jail as well?
Did she?
I don't know, anyway. No. She got plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's a different person now, yeah.
That's a different type of prison.
No, but I think she... Yeah. Oh, my God. That really scares me, plastic surgery, man. Like, I feel sad for people like Little Kim, because how much do you hate yourself inside? Like, to me, plastic surgery... Of course, it's different if you have some kind of crazy scar from an accident or whatever, but it's like...
If you need it, basically. It's different if you need it. But people do it now just for the sake of, like, I want to look like that weird thing over there.
Oh, my God.
Like, I've always wondered, because they all start looking pretty similar. You know, like...
It's fashion.
Some kind of fish.
Like that 80s nose. But
is that what it is, the 80s nose? There's some kind of fish that all plastic surgeons say, that's it.
That's what we're going
like.
For.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you see how the nose has changed through the eras. Like, because in the 80s, it was like that 80s the Michael Jackson nose. And that was fashion then. And then that's changed, like, over time, isn't it? But it's like, to me, plastic surgery is a psychological issue is going on there, rather than there's nothing wrong with you. I don't, whatever you look like.
Everyone's different, man. And you got to accept you for you. But unfortunately, there are people that, you know, they're not happy with themselves and they decide, like, ah, this is what I'm going to look like, that fish.
Yeah.
That fish that doctor.
That lesser spotted.
I don't know what it is, man. But they all have a similar look with the top lip just all of a sudden like that. And then the cheekbones, like, you know, the cheeks just look like you stuffed.
Scary.
Yeah, there's like, you know what I mean? Some. What is that, man?
Temple mattress in the cheeks or something going on. No, but that
it's
even
just
makes
two
me
rice
sad.
Balls just
like,
growing. Yeah. Rice ball.
Some
you put
dim
rice
sum.
Ball in my cheek, yeah.
No, I feel really bad because even when I saw the, is it Kylie Jenner? See, I'm even ashamed that I know.
Kylie Jenner.
Punch
That's
me
the
in
young
the face,
one,
Spice, please, for even knowing that girl's name. Jesus Christ.
That's the young one, right?
Yeah,
the
is she the
one
who... I don't know. Which one is the tiger? I can't... Anyway, but one of them was having like the injections in the lips. And it's like, blatantly,
Botox.
You're trying to be like your... No, Botox is when that, like, freezes your face. And that's nutty to do Botox. You have no idea what the long-term impacts of that are.
They don't care about long-term... Come on, man. They don't give a
They're
damn
like, what's up right
term.
Now?
Just let me just get that right now. You know what I mean? That's all they care about is the
that
right now.
That makes me sad. But the other day, I was also thinking about things in the past that were just, like, standard that we look at now as, like... That is madness. I can't believe that happened. Like, whether we're talking about it being illegal for interracial marriages or whatever, I think there's things happening right now that in the future we're going to look back on and be like, that is nutty. Like, that's how I think people are going to feel about weaves.
what? So imagine, yeah, this is, weaves is another
hair
funny
weaves.
One,
like,
yeah.
In the future, people are going to be like, seriously, black people were weaving their hair like that.
Yeah, they like, seriously what until they went bald. Like, yeah. People weave until they're actually bald, and then there's nothing to put the weave onto anymore. So now they need a wig.
Oh, and glue. It's gluing to the bald head.
It's scary. Imagine.
It makes me sad.
Mummies, like, so they're basically mummifying themselves now, doing all this plastic surgery.
With some Thai girl's hair. Some hair from Bangladesh or something.
Some Thai girl's hair.
Yeah.
So horse hair.
Because, yeah, no, that's what made me think of it was, oh, the horse, Jesus Christ. But that's what made me think of it because I saw a bit of the Chris Rock good hair. Why does everything seem to come back to Chris Rock on the show? The good hair on documentary. But no, and when he was talking, did you must have seen that film, Good Hair.
Did I see it?
But he was like talking to loads of like black female celebrities about like hair weaving after his daughter said, why don't I have good hair?
And then
he decided to look into it.
He got quite a lot of backlash for that, innit? There's a lot
really?
Of, yeah, well, I think like because I think people felt like, especially black women felt like he was going at them.
Really?
You know, he was going at black women for
they can't handle the truth.
Yeah, well, basically that's what it is.
And then, but even watching that film though, I thought it was kind of like it was good that he tried to approach the subject, but it became a kind of lighthearted, like, yeah, this is so funny. We have to put this on our hair, and like it was, and it's like, no, let's address same as for me, in my opinion, anyway. There's a psychological issue going on there. If you feel that you know who you are genetically needs to be erased at any at the cost of baldness potentially.
Yeah. I mean, I've got family that straight up they've overdid it with the weave and now they're looking unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Like, real unbelievable. I might have to start doing. I used to do that on Twitter.
I remember
unbelievable Wednesdays.
Yes. Maybe we need to bring that to Fubar Mice.
Yeah.
And describe it on air.
It's just like
you.
Wow, really, you're gonna try and get away with that. You like weave alone, I don't get like the you know, I love, like, but I just don't understand why you want to walk around with hair that doesn't look like it's your hair.
So how do, as a man then, because obviously women are doing this, a large part of it is because they think that this is what is attractive to men. So from a man's point of view.
From my point of view, look, my mum used to be a hairdresser, so I used to watch her doing women's hair. So I could see when it's like not real hair. Some of my brethren, I'd be like, right, she's got weave. Huh? That ain't weave. That's not a weave. That's not a weave. Excuse me, is that a weave? You know, she gets a little burgundy blush at that. You'd be like, Rav, why though? Because it doesn't look that great. It doesn't look that real. But what I've heard is that it's easier to maintain than your own hair. With the weave, you could just like brush and go. You could wake up, brush and go. But when it's your own hair, you got to do all the, you know, putting on this, that moisturizer, this and that. So that's
I know,
part of
but
it.
This is the thing. If you're trying to look like a European person, it's the same way. Imagine if a white person every day was trying to create an afro.
This like, reminds me of somebody. What was her name again? She had a lot of Z's. And
yeah, and it was an interesting one. Yeah. No, but it was funny. Rachel Deschal.
Yeah, how do you say it?
Deschal.
Every time I hear the name, it's a different pronunciation.
Nobody knows.
Look, we got a celebrity coming up very soon. Special guest for all you mother lovers out there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, guess who?
A London celebrity.
Yeah.
Let me guess. Is he
It says here, he's here.
He's here in the studio.
Well, not in the studio, but he is here.
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about our on the phone line celebrity. Not Pete and Pimlico then. I got excited. I thought I was gonna meet Pete and Pimlico. No, sorry. Pete and Bimbo will hopefully be hearing from him later in the show. But yes, we do actually have a live guest who is joining us in the studio today. This is so super exciting. So keep it locked to Fubar Radio. Me and Mice can just jabber about everything and anything for a time. So make sure you hit us up at Tuesday Drive at FubarRadio.com. That's the one. Or Twitter.com/FubarRadio. Remember, we always do Tuesdays, Are You Taking the Piss? So we want to hear from you guys and let us know what this week has made you say,
are you taking the piss, bruv?
Like, for real, though, for real. Like, we want to know. This is your time to vent. The show is all about you guys. So we want to hear from you. We want to know what you guys is saying. But before that, let's play something fresh out of the UK.
Have you heard of this guy,
Shaka?
Yeah, I have heard of Shaka.
This is a tune that caught my attention.
Let me hear this. I ain't heard this yet.
No, this is fresh. You're locked into Fubar with Sarah Love and my Stiggy.
Yeah. My ex
left saying I'm feeling that. New UK music. I like that tune because it's not often. I'm quite a difficult customer to please, I'd say.
Yeah, you are. You are, Sarah. I'd say that as well. You definitely.
Are you calling me a hater?
No, no. That's the. Hey, if nah, I wanted to say you're a hater, you're a hater. You know what I'm saying? Put that hater rate down. Nah, nah. But
no,
you are.
But I've
it's
got
good
high
to have
standards.
People. Exactly, exactly. It's good and to have people like that. I'm like that with MCing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it takes a lot for me to go, yeah, you know what? They're good. They're good. I like that.
Yeah, I'm,
like
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And that's so actually
you
caught
have to
my
be.
Attention.
That's how
yeah.
you keep your. That's how you get where you are.
We've
you
got
know?
To be. We've got to be. And that was the voice of the one and only Ty.
Hello.
The UK killer disturbing the scene from Time is in the studio with us.
Wow.
In the house, so Marvel lovers.
It is lovely to have you here. I wasn't sure for a minute if it was going to happen, but yeah. you are in the place to be.
Apologies, my people not speaking to your people and whatever.
Left it's, hand's not talking no, to right hand. No, no, it doesn't matter I'm, now. It's I'm, all ancient I'm
in
history.
I'm in the studio, so it's like I'm not talking to anybody, so that's how it is.
Oh, I don't
apologies,
care. I'm
apologies.
Just happy you're here.
It's an honour.
How
honor.
Are you?
I'm good, you know. I'm really good. I'm feeling free. I'm feeling happy about the music.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to really... This time round, I'm trying to really just lock my head down, get on with that, and not say too much.
So what, you're in the process of working
I'm
on music?
I'm right in the mix. Like, I got snares in my pocket.
Ew. Ew.
Kick snare with the idea. Mm-hmm. Right?
Ready to drop. Mm-hmm. I'm loving
so
it.
So what's the deal? Like, I've been
and
reading
the
this. Like, is it true you just got signed or... What's the juggling?
It's an interesting one because the word sign nowadays doesn't mean what we used to think it means.
No.
So really, it's a collaboration between myself and this label called True Thoughts.
Mm.
And it's really is a collaboration rather than them just picking me up and taking me. I'm dealing with my side of things. I'm dealing with the music.
So you're like partnering with them as opposed to...
It's a partnership.
Wow, okay.
It's that from the beginning.
Game changing, yeah?
Yeah, it's like the first record we put out was the EP, Kick Snare and Idea. Mm. I finished that. I did all of that, did the videos before I joined the label.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So it's a strange one because sometimes you need the help or if you want to feel like, oh, you know, can you help me? Give me
but
some
being
money.
Part of a team as well is a
that's nice.
Good, helpful dynamic kind of thing. Because yeah. I think that also helps as an artist because then you can focus on being the best artist you can be.
Yeah.
And other people can focus on, like, you know, the paperwork.
Look how
or,
deep this interview's just got to just straight to the
that's how
paperwork.
We roll.
We're talking about paperwork out yeah. here, baby. You know what I mean?
And submitting tax returns. And
no one wants to know what I ate for breakfast. Nothing like that. It's just straight.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay,
you know, there's important issues to discuss right. before 6 just, o'clock when we're up out of here.
Let's do it, let's do it.
Someone will say we're taking a piss, but we're not.
No,
but
we are not.
We do want you lot to tweet in, Facebook in, or email in, and let us know what has been taking a piss.
Yes, every week we have a special feature on the Tuesday Drive, which is, are you taking a piss? It's a chance when the listeners get to vent about what this week has made them say, are you taking the piss? So it's always courtesy where we ask our guests, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, you have a think about what,
because
I'm telling you there's a few, you got to sieve out.
Yeah,
you got to refine it
down. Who deserves
down.
A mention?
Online I get a little bit on it, so let me just hold back.
I know you've got plenty to get into. In fact, we should probably start, are you taking the piss early? Because I know there's going to be lots between the three of us. We're like a devastating combination right now for Are You Taking the Piss Tuesdays. So Fubar listeners, brace yourselves for that. That's all coming up. But I wanted to hit the listeners with something that I heard from you recently, which is actually you featuring on the Nicki Lars tune. It's Nicki Lars' record, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And is dude actually French?
Yeah, he's French. He's a French beatmaker, yeah.
Oui,
oui. Le Champs-Élysées.
I make these beats for you, you rap on it, and maybe...
D'accord. That's all I got. That's all I remember.
That will get you far.
Yeah, that's
France,
as much
yeah.
French as we can speak right here, but let's move on.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. Let's keep that ball rolling. But yes, you are tuned into Fubar Radio, and we have our special guest, Ty, in the studio, so let's hit them off with something fresh. And we've got much more goodies coming for you on the way. Hit us up on twitter.com/FubarRadio and you can email us at tuesdaydrive@FubarRadio.com. Peace! I'm loving the vibes. That's the sound of Nicki Lars featuring our special guest live in the studio right about now. It's time!
Hey.
The formidable.
Ah.
The unstoppable.
The untalkable.
When did your first record come out?
First record?
Yeah.
Are we dating me now?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Well,
I believe
if I'm lucky.
The first record. Oh, Sarah, oh.
All right, let me leave the room now before yes. we all make a mess we up in here.
first record I was on, I think, was IG Culture's first album.
Ooh. Wow.
So that's 1990.
Wicked.
I think so, yeah. 1990 wow. or 92.
That's dope. That's an accomplishment.
They say.
Because, I mean, really, when you think of black artists in the UK, like, there's not...
Can we say that here? Can we say black artists?
I say whatever the hell I want.
I'm getting used to that.
It's a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shock for me to be that
open.
Not
used to say
I can say that?
Fuck yeah. it, man. You can say whatever you fucking want. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but okay, I think it's important. This is what I love about FUBAR Radio, because they believe in,
just talk freely.
Exactly. And it's like, from me coming from working at such, established... bureaucracy-driven organisations. mentioning no names. No, which I have a lot of respect for as well, but I think it's so important that we have people who aren't taking... horse leads the cart, not the cart leading the horse.
Give us free.
Release
also,
the
it's where the music comes from. Our music comes from a space of trying to speak a particular way about many topics, not just about racial issues, about anything. So the fact that you can't talk about that stuff already hinders... The music you're playing.
Yeah. So and even censorship within the music also.
So let's get it.
But no, I think when you think of black artists in the UK, that it's a shame that there's a few, there's not more that we can speak of who necessarily have a career that span, that is still relevant today.
It's
spanning that long.
It is interesting, but I do worry about that. And I do think, I've had conversations with Maestro in the past where it's just like, we just got to recognize that for some reason, the window is closed for us and suggested that you should only be an artist to this level and you shouldn't be. And it's for you to actually define who you are and how you do it. And I was doing that from early. And a lot of times when I was doing it from early, a lot of people was looking at me sideways like, you're not really with the crew. You're not really. And then it's only now that people are beginning to see certain things like playing with a live band and all. I was in there.
But why do you say that? You were saying you think it's kind of restrict. There's a narrow scope for black music kind of thing, or black artists. Why do you say that?
I think it's not so much just black music. I think for us it was hip hop. I think hip hop wise we were. Everybody was like, yeah, if you don't freestyle, then you're not this, and if you don't do this, and it's like, really? How about you just all of us. Are on this journey with hip hop where we're learning new things. Mm. Maestro put an album out a year ago, Maestrogen. You're learning how to do things differently all the time. I'm learning how to program or learning how to arrange or learn how to think about music differently. So to me, it's a journey. It should only be about the journey. Even Rakim, all of the music that they made then, what we were hearing was they're experimenting at their time and just nailing it. And even now, there's certain things that they do, certain things that KRS-One's doing now where you're like, oh, wow. Okay, so you hit a high level early, and then to maintain it, you had to keep learning things.
But I feel that's also how you create innovative movements, or you pioneer new things is by having the freedom to experiment. Yeah.
You should be allowed to experiment, but there is that thing of there are eras, innit? There are you're going to have that we've gone, had the auto-tune era. But,
oh, God.
Yeah,
no,
I guess we kind of thought but... So you've got this era now where it seems to be cool to do that.
Right.
Or there's
in the past, you'd be laughed out of the park for that nonsense.
Now I also feel like it's an era where it doesn't matter if you sound too much like... People now are kind of getting noticed because they sound like somebody.
Yeah. That's the aspiration, and, cool, and that's how is conformity.
That's changed.
Yeah. That's the rule now, that's is conformity. But whereas coming from a hip hop background, it was about having your own distinctive sound, what I was saying earlier, you knew that's a primo beat.
Yeah,
that's Large Professor kind of thing. It's like that was what you aspired to be, was individualism.
Mm. And you was a sucker if you were sounding like someone else.
And you got hailed out.
Yeah, you was actually people used to, I remember Funky DL had a hard time in the beginning where people was just like, well, it's great, but you sound like blah blah blah, your beats sound like blah blah blah, your rapping sounds like, and over time, he did his thing, but over time the UK scene grew to a point where it just developed. Dizzy Rascal, all these people came out afterwards, which showed that you could use the UK voice. So it was nice,
but I feel like the level of creativity masters listening at what
there.
The FUBAR
so it was like high kicking today, boy.
This is just me standardly type. But see, we don't spend enough time together.
Yeah, we don't. We have to change that. we're dating.
No, I mean, this is my problem, is that I'm always on the pulpit. But no, is that I just feel that our level of creativity and like pioneering sounds and like pushing the envelope socially, politically and all that happens when us as a community are policing each other,
yes,
rather than we're being policed by like people who sit in an
by
office
the police.
Who actually by the police, yeah, who have actually nothing to do or understanding of our scenes and things. And so to me that was where you had like a kind of watershed in hip hop, is when it became a real industrialized thing where people in at the top were calling the shots top down,
yeah,
whereas
yeah,
when
yeah,
we
yeah,
when you think of the golden era, that was when it was all us on the street level saying, yo, you're whack because you're biting his sound. Oh yeah, no, someone did that before, you need to come fresh.
September,
like, you know,
September 1997,
that's the day. Why is September 1997?
September 1997 is when Clear Channel brought out BET.
Oh my God, Clear Channel terrifies me.
But when they did that, when they brought it out, that was the significant change in music, because they, mm-hmm, they then set a rule where they said they didn't want to have certain types of artists and music had to be dumbed down.
It's despicable.
It's trickled down from that point onwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's another point. And to do with like, do you think that the industry purposely don't sign artists that are of a certain level of intelligence or a certain level of...
It's in the book. Professor Trisha Rose, Hip Hop Wars. It's in the book. You can see it's absolutely. And what he's saying, what you just to answer your question, yes,
because it feels like that.
That
it feels
true.
Like.
But
it
that
really
even
feels
relates
like
to like what Tony Benn, the quote that we played earlier,
yeah,
from,
yeah,
Tony Benn. You know about Tony Benn, the politician? Anyway,
I know about
he was
it, but
like,
I don't know what
you
said. You
don't know about Mando.
Tony Benn. Oh,
yeah.
I know
he goes
Tony.
In. I know he goes in from,
yeah,
time to time.
Like, I love him, but
he's got bars. Mando rhymes, but he's got bars.
For real though,
he was talking about like unemployment and. But basically, like, yeah, the powers that be.
You don't want a healthy, educated,
young
population.
Yeah, yeah.
You want
young
people who
struggling,
are fearful and, you know, are demoralized because,
yeah,
they're easier to control. So in many ways, I feel like that's an analogy for what we see happening with, like, the rap industry. And I say rap in as a differentiation to hip hop.
It's definitely. Yeah. You know what's funny? With this whole thing, because we've been in it and we've been part of it for so long, we often feel guilty for trying to suggest that, you know, someone tampered with our water, someone tampered with our food.
Is
and it's like,
fluoride?
Because we're in it. But the fact is, if you step back and you look, there is absolutely documented evidence that these things have happened and they've trickled down to affect everything else. So anyone that's interested, Trisha Rose, the book Hip Hop Wars, and she's got a book called Black Noise that came before that. It's there for you.
I'd be fascinated. I haven't actually checked that book out, but I know quite a bit about Clear Channel and how terrifying it is, because they own something like 200 stations in America. So all your mainstream commercial stations in America, but they have rules where it's like when they pick up a tune to be playlisted,
yeah,
each station has to play that song 150 times a week or whatever it is.
And with those type of things, when you've got that kind of policing, it will affect the water. It will affect.
Oh, totally, because it's monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
You know, so all kids
so
know is
crazy,
taking
man.
Their cues from. And you know, this is even something that's documented in science experiments in other fields, looking at psychology of like monkeys and things like that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So it's like, even it's the same thing for like humankind. Like,
yeah.
we can only copy from the examples we're shown, isn't it?
But the upside of it is, like, as a village, because of the digital, I think personally, UK hip hop took a step forward when we went online.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
I mean,
We all started speaking
yeah,
in
yeah.
ways that we never spoke before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, it was really like a dual, like, you know, we're doomed if we don't speak now. You can't front anymore. What's your email, Mice? What's your email? You know, we have to start speaking. And I think when those things started happening, there was more unity, more unification started to happen. And we realized that who actually loves this thing. If we love it, then we
yeah.
have to do things. We have to organize things. We have to organize, you know, different things to happen. And I've always been a part. I've always tried to do things in a particular way where I realized that, you know what, I've got a platform, I've got a career, I've got a legacy, I've got listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes will push artists into my listeners' eardrums to say, look, this is what it is. Or I'll play, like I played Roots Maneuver's Witness to Fitness in the beginning of our show for 2 years before that became a hit, because we had the dub plate, because I was on the same label. And with stuff like that, we were doing, like, you know, we play Maestro's record in the beginning of our show.
But this is our duty and
exactly.
our responsibility and when you have a platform, I
but
feel.
But when you have incredible artists, you have to make, and you have a platform that's been diluted in the way it has, you have to create new rules. You have to create new patterns of behavior.
Mm.
And I think it's about using your platform. So I'm kind of into that.
What I'm seeing you do,
essential.
Like, I like it because it's like, I think a big factor is that it's people of your level in the scene that have, like, you know, been doing this and, like, you know, you're looked at and regarded as paving the way for a lot of us, are not that vocal about some of the things that they should be, because you've got an influence over a lot more people than some of us that are like, you know, they're known and whatnot, not everybody's listening to us.
No.
So, you know, I think it's important for people like Tide to make that transition. Like I've always said, the transition from the physical, selling CDs and records and whatnot, going over into the digital world where it's like social networking and videos, and not many people have managed to make that transition too well. And the people that have are still quite relevant. Do you know what I mean? They're still quite known, still doing their thing.
Yeah. Mm.
But there's a lot of people that didn't. They became the dinosaurs. But then now, so that's one step, is like now learning how to move around and conversate in this new world. But then the next step is actually making sure that people in this new world know that this is, you can be yourselves, you can do what you want to do. Yeah. Don't feel like you have to follow what you keep seeing on TV or keep hearing on the radio, because and it's happening now, like you said, man, it's really happening. So I think we just keep taking those steps, man, you know what I mean?
And I feel there's a lot of similarities there when we even to politics, like in the past when you think when there was much more stranglehold over media, like now when even though like BBC or whatever other news outlets aren't reporting that 250,000 people were marching through London this past weekend, you know, we are reporting it because we have access to like online, and so it hip-hop. Can't be hidden. Yeah, exactly. So this is what I mean, this is the similarities, of what is going on, with the music industry. Goodness me, you've only been here for 2 minutes.
Sarah, you taking a piss? Hey, hit us up with your taking a pisses, man.
Exactly. We're going to be getting into it shortly. Ty, prepare yourself.
All right.
I know you're ready to go in on taking a piss. But before, I'd hit you with some classic music from Ty, who's
this
in the
my
studio right
Ty
now.
Tunes, boy.
You listen to Fubar. That's like, I know people throw these kind of words around too much, but this is like classic UK music now. What year did this come out?
2003, 2004.
Goodness me!
Fresh.
That's
though,
a lifetime!
Man. Yeah, but it's fresh.
And sounds fresh.
Guys, you got to see the video to this. The tune's called Wait a Minute.
Yeah.
By Ty, T-Y.
Who is
and
our
the video,
guest in the studio
like
right
that,
now.
Where you was in the beach. That shit was hilarious, man.
I couldn't reach the girls.
Yo, innovative video, man. Like, especially for that time as well, where everyone was just doing the road thing. Yeah, let me just get my pit bull. Yeah. And the man
and the crew from the estate.
And then this is me in front of my estate.
Yeah.
This is me behind my estate. And then, that's
the side
video
of my estate.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
you
know,
to the shops in my estate.
Hey,
look for that video, man.
There's nothing wrong with that as well, but it's a bit tired.
Yeah. You're taking the piss, man.
You're kind of taking the piss with that. And it is almost that time, but before we get into the time, I think as a good warm-up. Okay, go. What's the
message? From Stu in Fulham, yeah? Stu, mate, how's it going, yeah?
You're right, Stu!
Going down North End Road, mate, yeah? Go down to Bookies, mate. Make sure you get one on for me, yeah? Now, Stu is like, where's Pete in Pimlico at? The man has got jokes!
Pete, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
right,
boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. How you doing,
you right? Yes, how are you doing, Pete, in Pimlico?
Yeah, it's all good. We're all good, man. You
How's Pimlico doing
low,
today?
Yeah. Pimlico's nice. You know, it's all right. Could be better. Could be worse.
Yes. And how have you been feeling about some of the issues we've raised on today's show?
Some of the issues?
I know you've got plenty of opinions about everything.
Austerity, innit?
What do you think about all that business, then?
I like it.
You like a bit of austerity, you do. You like selling off the welfare system.
You know, everything's expensive now, isn't it? But you know, everything. Weed's gone up a lot. So you have to grow your own weed.
Boy,
and,
if you can.
You know, you have to buy 2-for-1 at Tesco, you know what I mean? But then you can't go, they say don't go to Tesco, you got to go to Lidl.
Yeah, I was going to say, bro, you're boiling. Pete, I was about to say,
Tesco's boiling. Go to Waitrose, because Waitrose is good quality, and that's you get more per mile per gallon.
Really?
Is it?
You should start a whole blog just on Lidl versus Waitrose. Pete and Pimlico's blog. No, but what this week, Pete, though, has made you say...
Are you taking the piss?
Come on, I know there's...
Taylor Swift taking the piss.
You know what? I wanted to know what Mice and Ty made of this story. What have you got to say about Taylor Swift?
Well, look, man, she's selling loads on Apple. She won't give them a few 30-day free trial because she's greedy, innit, blood? We're all struggling with everything, getting our 2-for-1 at Tesco. She's living on a yacht in the Bahamas, and she wants that bit more, doesn't it? She's got 20 billion. Oh, no, I want another million on top, blood.
No, but she's saying
makeup, toe polish.
Pete, she's saying that she's doing it for the up and coming artists. You know,
is she gonna give it? Is she gonna give it to them then, blood? Her money from the 30 days. No,
That's
and they've got to have like 7,000 plays to get a tenner or something on these types of things,
exactly.
Isn't it? And then there's like other people are saying it's kind of controversial because I mean, in some ways you could say this is like perfect promo for Taylor Swift and for Apple. So I wouldn't put, the cynic in me wouldn't put it past them that this is like, you know, an orchestrated event. Because what better image of Apple could you create rather than, oh God, they actually care and this is just something they overlooked and they've took action on this. And then at the same time, so it makes her look great.
You was in the music business. What is it like that is, what? How do you make the money now?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man, because whole thing is that, you know, you might lose out. That 30-day trial or whatever it is, and they're saying they're doing it for free. That's Apple's business. That's not our business. Fine. Our business is to sell the music. We don't even really, the whole streaming thing, we don't even really want that, but it's almost like you're forced into it because they're like, well, look.
This is what's happening now.
Yeah, if you don't stream, people are going to just download your shit anyway, so you might as well.
That's the economic model, blood, isn't it? So you got to sell it on the... But Apple should pay you, blood, because they've got like £1 million in the bank, innit?
They got more than that, bro. There's a million in there.
They got
somewhere.
More than Taylor Swift's got.
Why
doesn't she buy Apple?
What did you make of the Taylor Swift story?
My problem with this whole thing is Taylor Swift is not relevant. So Taylor Swift has been made relevant because of Kanye West. She's been made relevant because he snubbed, you know, he jumped in and interrupted
her. But at the same time, being devil's advocate, you could say she was selling millions of records even by that point, too.
Let me finish. So what I'm trying to say is she was selling millions of records, but they weren't to us. She wasn't relevant to us. She wasn't making music that we were listening to.
Mm. I was buying them, blood.
I know you were, Pete. I know you're a closet Taylor Swift fan.
Then she, you know...
Two for one, innit, Pete?
And then the media shift happened and, she, you know, she started doing Shake 'Em Off, Shake 'Em Off. She became relevant in a kind of Britney Spears kind of way. And now, all of a sudden, we're asking her opinion of certain things. And I'm like, well, let's be really honest. When these artists are at this level, there is a media team behind them that tell them what to say it, how to push it out. We are really believing that Taylor Swift woke up this morning and made a tweet and said, you know what? I'm not doing this. Absolute fraff.
I just think
there's a team behind that.
So you reckon she's
like... Business, Bubba, business, isn't it?
Is a team. We're forgetting that Taylor Swift doesn't just do things. She didn't just make her video and made it relevant to us and start dancing, but there's a marketing team behind everything.
The whole thing is orchestrated,
this is the case
with most people who are in the charts right now, which is why I have little interest in like the aspirations for the music industry. And I think the bottom line is it's also like there's a kind of real major disparity going on between what her music is and the messages of her music, which apparently she's an artist, and like these kind of no, but I mean, to me it's like, how are you making all these political statements about the industry and standing up for artists' rights and all of this stuff, but at the same time your song, because I was like, okay, let me do some research on her music to make sure I'm not judging her. I'm sorry, her music's fraff.
It's pop.
No, all right,
but listen, guys, I'm going to say here that she's making
it. You've seen
for
her
kids.
Five times live. And
I've seen her breasts. She looks good, I'm telling you.
No, what does the YouTube Bonio say about all this?
Bonio.
No, but, you know, this is the thing about, like, people that make that type of music, they're not making it for people like us.
True.
So we're not necessarily going to be into it, or we're not going to appreciate it the way that some of the kids would and whatnot.
But I love good pop music.
Apparently, ABBA made music for me. But it didn't hit. I didn't like it. Then.
No, but there's loads of pop music that I love. What? So it's not even about pop.
I hear the point. My only thing, like I said to you before, is I can't marvel at the brilliance of someone that has a marketing team before that tells her to brush her teeth. And we get to see that. So we are arguing about someone's actions, but actually those actions have been pretty
orchestrated.
So
do you reckon it doesn't matter whether she said that or not? It wouldn't matter. Apple.
Well, the problem is Taylor Swift's already double whammied herself, because the agreement that she has with photographers is actually goes against the agreement she's actually suggested.
Well, yeah, this was what was
this
like
is the problem.
To light,
so,
isn't it?
So she has a similar.
So she's contradicted herself.
She's contradicted herself, because the truth of it is someone else is controlling the strings of everything she does. So she hadn't thought about that before she made this big comment.
She's a contradicted.
There you go.
She's not a dickhead.
She's talking about.
But listen, we've got to get everybody's Pete, are you taking the piss? And so for Pete, he says Taylor Swift.
Are you taking the piss?
Pete, I'm Taylor Swift taking the piss, innit?
Blood. Right. It's lovely talking to you, Pete. But okay, Ty.
Let's go.
Tell us then, what this week made you say?
Are you taking the piss?
Rachel. The Rachel Dalizo.
Yeah, come and say the second
that
name.
That was
for me, bro.
I can't say it. I don't know. I refuse to learn it. Let me tell you what the taking a piss aspect is.
Yeah.
The taking a piss aspect is not Rachel herself.
Aww.
It's the actual fact that black people are not being asked or allowed to be annoyed at what she's done. We're being told, oh, you know, it's not that bad. And everybody that's telling us is actually not us. Everyone's saying, don't jump on her. You know, she's got, I've not seen it. That's what's going
that.
On. Like, you're being hard on her. It's like, wait a minute, but it's us. It's an embarrassment to us.
I've seen very few people defending her.
Embarrassment to us?
I think so.
Why?
Because she basically has taken a job. She's blacked up. She's done a lot of people are looking at it like, oh, but she worked for an NAACP. I'm like, well, listen, first of all, if you check your evidence, you'll see the media's presented a particular angle for us to understand her. And in the beginning, the media angle was, she did some good stuff, but then she messed up and did the black thing. So forgive her. And it's like, wait a minute, let's look at the good stuff. Let's look at the black thing. So she's definitely brainwashed her younger brother into believing that the family that adopted him that are white, that adopted three of them, that is why it hates them. This is the actions of a sane person. No, this is the problem. This someone's got a problem. There's more to the story than just the fact that she's blacking up. It's blacking up and thinking that means she understands our struggle. Actually, she doesn't. I don't mind her being here, but it's like, first of all, allow me to be annoyed at what she's done because she's taken the piss.
So for you, it's Rachel.
Are you taking the piss?
Is basically that's the one you're going for.
It's not Rachel. It's everyone else that's saying, "Oh, but you know, don't go down on it." It's like, wait. It's not your call to tell me not to be pissed.
I actually haven't seen anyone defending her online.
Oh, online. Trust me. Okay. It was going off.
Okay. I've not seen much of it. But yes, you are tuned into Foobar Radio with myself, Sarah, Mr. Maestiggy, the voice of Chocolate Velvet Cake.
You're damn.
Live in your earpiece.
Right,
and our special guest, Ty, is in the studio.
Tonight, baby.
All right.
Listen. And Ty is in the studio with us right now. And of course, it is our weekly feature, Tuesdays.
Are you taking the piss?
I've got to say, for me, are you taking the piss this week has to go to Hay Fever.
Hay Fever, man.
I didn't even used to have hay fever. What's going on? And it's like every day you think you're getting a cold, but then it's not really a cold.
Are you taking the piss?
That's the opposite for me, man. I feel like a superhero, boy. Yeah, the other day I had to go weed my mum's garden, and I was like, yeah, before the shit even started, I was like, oh, man, you know I'm going to get hay fever doing this, yeah? And then she's just standing there like, go on, do it.
She's like, I don't care if your health is in danger.
But after half an hour, I did an hour and a half. I put in some work, you know what I mean? There was sweat dripping down his big ass forehead. Yeah. I didn't get no hay fever. I was all right, man.
So maybe it was almost like a vaccine, a bit of exposure.
I don't know, maybe. I've been having bee pollen.
I'm not having it, just to ruin my gangster image.
But that's what's weird, because I never used to have it. You know what? I had a crazy statistic recently. In people who live in urban areas, the rate of, allergies is 1 in 3. People who live in rural areas, like rural tribes, the rate of allergies is 1 in 1,500.
Wow.
Are you taking the piss?
Good luck for the future generations, because it's going to be a mess. The other thing that I thought was really taking the piss, Prince Harry got knighted.
For what?
Are you
the
taking
prince
the piss?
Got knighted.
Like, what does he need to be knighted by his grandma for? Come on, you're already the prince of England, man.
Hold on.
Rewind my selector.
Hold on. So the normal people that get knighted have to do what exactly? You have to do a whole bunch of stuff.
They have to perform sexual acts for Prince Fitnail.
For a giant reptile that lies six million feet.
I ain't even hired. Ain't even hired. You get me fired. seriously, like, normally people have to do a whole lifetime of stuff to get knighted.
Hey, man, don't hate on Prince Harry. He's done a lot.
No, I mean,
he's done a lot for this.
You live for your mum dying. I get it.
Sarcasm,
okay,
sorry.
But you normally have to do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, normally, you know, if you're getting a knighthood, you've got a beard, it's white. You've done stuff.
I don't know. They're getting a bit silly with this knighthood business now. Because I keep hearing people who've been knighted, and I'm like, props and everything, but Seriously?
How? No, that feels a little bit like, come on.
Are you taking the piss?
That feels a little bit like, are you taking the piss? But what about you FUBAR listeners? What are you guys saying?
Well, we got Stacey in sunny London town, yeah? Because
I like how she keeps it vague. She's I don't want to reveal my location.
Just in case, because my manager might be watching me right now. I'm on the till anyway, on me hands free. She says, hello, this morning, right? Stacey, I didn't notice my lace was undone. And some bloody joker stepped on it at Leicester Square Tube and I tripped over. This is not how I roll.
Are you taking the piss?
When she says her lace, what are we talking about? What are we talking about exactly?
Her lace front or her lace?
Oh, the lace weave. That's harsh.
We're talking about weave.
We're talking about weaves.
It's the weave. It's not like the top.
Nah, I think it was her trainers, to be honest.
The shoelace.
Before you get excited, I think it was her Reebok
front. We're getting insights into your filthy mind,
I got something.
You got excited,
I got a piss take scenario that I need to talk about. But I'll talk about
after that. Okay, but Stacey.
Just stay with Stacey for now.
Yeah, anyone tripping you up or barging you in the street.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah, so Stacey, I'm backing you on that one. In sunny London town.
You know what I mean?
And who else we got locked in?
Verity from Redbridge, yeah?
Hey, I used to go to college in Redbridge.
Hey, where is Redbridge? Because I've never heard of that place ever in my life.
Essex!
Oi, oi! I tell you what, mate. Oi, oi, listen, mate. My mate, Dave the Spade, mate, he loves it down Essex. I tell you what. It's all right down there. So Verity from Redbridge was saying, I was walking behind a lady in my office building yesterday and we went through about four sets of doors and she didn't hold one door open for me. Are you taking a piss?
Are you taking a piss?
No, that is a liberty.
You know, whenever that happens to me or when I hold a door open for someone and then they just walk through as though you're not standing there for them, I say in the loudest voice, you are welcome.
Yeah,
no
I do.
No problem. Then they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yo, I go out of my way because of the gold tooth, my height, and the complexion of my
golden.
I go out of my way, boy. I'll be opening the door for grannies, listening to Coldplay on my headphones, mad loud, just so that people don't, get too worried in that. But
yeah, no, that is a liberty. Really, people need to get on that saying thank you and holding doors open, because everyone wants to complain about how miserable people are in London. It's like, how are we going to change this? We're going to change this, like Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world.
I want to add one more. Are you taking a piss for my?
I knew we won't be able to stop him on this. No, go on.
We need more cleavage.
Are you taking a piss?
It's summer. We need more cleavage, ladies. What the hell is going on? I don't know what's going on.
No, sorry, but to be that
I'll tell you what's going on. Yesterday was a cold ass day, man.
And this is not a sexist thing. I'm just saying. It's time. It's summer. This is it now. We've been working for it. Gym wise, please bring it to the table.
Okay, so if that means more men in flip flops and skin tight riders.
So be it.
Are you taking the piss?
So be it. Bring it. It's that time.
It's
summer.
Not hot enough yet.
I don't think we're going to get it much hotter than now. I think we need to. If we're going to do that whole summer rush, let's
have
do
a
it.
Cold shower, do and the weather will always feel a lot warmer for
okay,
you.
Okay, I think
lovers.
We've got time for a couple more. Are okay, you taking the piss?
All right. So we got. Who have we got now?
Mike, you didn't have anything. I'm surprised you didn't have anything.
Yeah,
to
I didn't.
From this
I couldn't
week.
Really top what you like. I need to get pissed off. I'm just too happy, man. I've realised that as well. My music is too happy. But look, Sally in Hammersmith, West Side. So I got to represent.
West Side.
She's like, hey peeps, I need a Fab lolly and can't find one. Do they still make them anymore? Fab is not Fab. It's.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah. It's meant to be taking a piss, but it can
it's
be. Fabulously, are you taking
which
a
one
piss?
Is that?
I'm trying to remember myself.
Is that the dark one with the wrap around it and the little hundreds and thousands?
No, Sally's letting us
feast.
Know her
that's
age
a feast.
Right now. That's all I'll tell you that right there.
Wagon Wheel era.
No, I'm thinking of Wham. See,
or the Dib Dab. That's like the same era as that, isn't it? Curly Whirlies, all that business. And we're nearly out of time. One more. I think we have time for one more. Are you taking the piss?
This is kind of taking the piss, this one, actually. Someone's asked, does Ty prefer a normal tie, a clip-on tie, or a bow tie? That's Sam in Addleston. Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Are you taking the piss?
With that genius
give us
ass
an answer
question.
Tie. Look, we've got 55 seconds left.
I prefer a normal tie.
Ah, there you go.
It's deep. You see, we're deep here at FUBAR Radio.
There you go.
But it's so lovely to have you. We love your taking the piss. Remember, you can hit us up in between the show too at Tuesday Drive at FUBARradio.com. Thank you so much, Maestro, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me
back
again,
the voice of chocolate velvet cake
that's
takeover.
Right, ladies and gentlemen.
And Ty, thank you so much
it.
For coming through to the show too.
A pleasure.
We
thank
hope
you.
To yes, like Ty. Be seeing and hearing more of you. And all you guys listening into the show, it's all about you guys. It's lovely speaking with you and being with you every week. So make sure you lock in again next Tuesday, 4 till 6 p.m. at FUBARradio.com. This is something right. fresh from Denon Porter and Farrah Monch to leave you with. And we're out. Peace.